Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear members of the Holy Christian Church, when it comes to sports, I'm sure you've heard people say that the secret to the best offense is a good defense. At first glance, you wouldn't think this would be true because the offense and the defense have different roles. But when you think about it, if the defense does their job and prohibits the other team from scoring, this allows the offense a chance to put more points on the scoreboard. But you could also say that the best defense is a good offense. If the offense does their job, this will only motivate the defense to do their job. So even though the offense and the defense have two different roles, they come together as one team. And you can say the same thing about marriage, can't you? Even though husbands and wives have two different roles, they are no longer two, but they have become one. And Paul this morning addresses what those roles for a husband and a wife are in marriage. And so as we listen to Paul, let us deepen our understanding so that we can come together as one to serve one another. But before we really look at the roles of husbands and wives in marriage, we have to see our motivation for doing what God commands. And our motivation is this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It doesn't matter who you are, male or female, married or unmarried, parent or child. We all submit to one another. And we do this out of reverence for Christ. Christ has lived a perfect life for us. Christ has suffered and died for our sins, and Christ was raised to life for our justification. Christ is our motivation to come together as one to serve one another. And with Christ as your motivation, Paul now addresses the wives. He says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." There are many things said here, but there is one word that has caused controversy and offense to people. And what is that one word? It's the word submit. People have viewed this word as meaning that wives are inferior to their husbands, that they are less important than their husbands, or for a lack of better words, they are a slave to their husbands. But that's not how the Bible uses the word submit. First of all, we submit to one another, not because it is forced upon us, but we submit voluntarily. It's a self-motivated thing that we do out of love for Christ. And what exactly does it mean to submit? To submit means to acknowledge that someone is above you. Just as we all submit to our government and acknowledge that they are above us, wives, you are to submit to your husbands. It is in God's wisdom that He chose the husband to be the head and for wives to be the suitable helper. But why would you do this? After all, husbands are not perfect. Well, you do it because the church submits to Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and all of us are members of His body. Now, do you find submitting to Christ as a demeaning thing? No. You find it rather as a blessing. You rejoice to submit to him because you know he is your leader and he will provide for you. And so, wives, let this be your motivation as you submit to your husbands. And don't view it as a demeaning thing, but rather as a blessing. But remember that a wife is not alone in marriage, for the two have become one. And so God has established roles for husbands. This is what Paul says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves himself, or he who loves his wife, loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Now, just as we needed to talk about the word submit when it came to wives, we need to talk about the word love when it comes to husbands. What does it mean for husbands to love their wives? The word love here is agape love. It is self-sacrificing love. Just as Christ loved the church and sacrificed himself for her, husbands, this is how you are to love your wives. And it doesn't just mean that you are willing to die for them. It means that everything that you do is for them. Your wife is your greatest concern. And that's why Paul brings up this analogy of a husband loving his wife as someone loving his own body. No one truly hates their body. If you did, you would not feed it, you would not take care of it, but you do. And that is what husbands are to do for their wives. Everything that they do is for their wives. So even though you have been given the headship role from God, use that role to love your wife and to provide for her, to take care of her, to listen to her needs and to be concerned about them. These are the roles that God has given to a husband and a wife so that they can come together as one to serve one another. And if husbands and wives truly do this, look at a blessing it is. If a husband loves his wife, then the wife will not feel it's a burden to submit to him because she knows everything he does is for her. And if a wife truly submits to her husband, this will only motivate the husband to love his wife. But ever since Adam and Eve, the first husband and wife, fell into sin, these roles of husband and wife have been abused. Wives, you have not always submitted to your husbands, have you? You are to acknowledge that your husband is the head. But are there times that you want to acknowledge that you are the head? Do you ever brag to others that you are the one that truly wears the pants in the relationship? Do you ever force your husband to do what you want and refuse to accept what he thought was best? That's not coming together as one to serve one another. That's you serving yourself. But wives are not the only guilty party here. So are husbands. Husbands, you have not always loved your wives as Christ loved the church, have you? Are there times that you view your wife as nothing more than a burden in your life? Have you forced your will upon her by not consulting with her or talking with her about a decision that you made? And when she talks to you about that, about those things, do you ever become angry with her and say, "Let me be the man of the house? After all, you are to submit to me." That is abusing your role as a head. That's not loving your wife. That's you loving yourself. There is no perfect marriage where a husband and a wife perfectly come together as one to serve one another. But there is one perfect marriage, and it's Christ to his bride, which is the church, which is you. There was a time that we were not united with Christ because of our sins, but Christ wanted us to be united with him. He wanted us to be one with him. And so he submitted himself for his bride. He submitted to his Father's will. And when he talked to his Father about his own needs, he always said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And Christ truly loved his bride. He loved the church so much that he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Christ has died for you. Christ has made you holy and blameless by washing you with the waters of baptism. And now he rejoices to present you as his radiant and beautiful bride. For you are now united with your husband, Jesus Christ, who promises to always love you and to provide for you. Let Christ and his love be your motivation in marriage, to love your wives and to submit to your husbands. But Christ is also our motivation in another aspect of our lives. Christ is our motivation as parents and children. And the relationship between children and parents is another way that we can come together as one to serve one another. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Children, Paul gives you two reasons to honor your parents. You honor your parents because God commands you. God commands you to obey them. But he also gives you another reason to obey your parents, because he gives you a promise. He promises to you that if you honor your parents, it will go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Children, just think about it. If you honor your parents, they will not punish you. In fact, they will give you praise for what you do. And God promises that if it is his will, he will bless you with a long life. And parents, Paul has this command for you. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Parents, do not exasperate your children. Do not let sudden outbursts of anger happen to your children. Do not unfairly punish your children. Because if you do, this will only move your children to become angry with you. Instead, Paul tells you to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And when Paul says to bring them up in training, he's talking about discipline. As parents, you will discipline your children. But when you discipline them, don't do it out of anger, but do it in love. Explain to them why you are disciplining them by instructing them in the Lord, by sharing the Lord with them, by sharing what the Lord has done for them. This will move your children to willingly obey and honor you. But once again, we haven't done this perfectly, have we? Children, you do not always honor your parents, do you? You may not honor your parents because you think they are too harsh, too strict, And maybe you have even said to your parents that you wish somebody else was their mother and father. And parents, you have exasperated your children, haven't you? Maybe after a long day of work, you come home and your children want to be with you, and you yell at them to leave you alone so that you can relax. Or maybe you unfairly punished your children, and when you punish them, you don't do it out of love. You only do it out of anger. Once again, as parents and children, we have sinned against God. But just as Christ is the perfect Savior when it comes to our marriage, He is also our perfect Savior when it comes to relationship as children and parents. Christ grew up as a child. And even though He was perfect and His own parents were sinners, He still honored and obeyed them. Even though Christ did not have any physical children, He did not yell at children to leave Him alone, but He encouraged children to be brought to Him so that He could bless them. And God, who is our Father through faith, disciplines us, for we are His children. But when He disciplines us, it's not done out of anger. The writer to the Hebrews writes, "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." When God disciplines us, it's done out of love and to instruct us in our faith. This is what God does to make us come together as one to serve one another. And so, as I said at the beginning of my sermon, that the secret to the best offense is a good defense. The secret to being a good spouse, a good parent, and a good child is the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. Let Christ and what He has done be your motivation in your marriage and in your family homes as you come together as one to serve one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.